The innocence of little children is truly a marvelous thing, especially when one considers children's unconditional love for their parents and for their caregivers. Before children begin to live into their selfish and demanding tendencies, there's a wonderful time frame from birth until about age 2 or 3 or 4, where the children are loving, where they're happy, of course, when they're fed and dry, and their snuggles and joy are powerful like a drug. They are oblivious, these children, to the faults of their parents. They love them no matter what. They are mostly oblivious to the challenges of life, the difficulties, the pain, the evil in life. I've noticed in some movies that depict drug lords and mafia kingpins, that's not all I watch, but in those movies, they tend to depict a dual life for these characters, a family side and then the business side. A family side, them with their children, loving, seemingly normal, their children doting on them. And then they contrast that life with the ruthless and violent business side of their existence. The children are shown to dote on and love their parents, that they're oblivious to the sin and evil that happens away from the home and that funds their lifestyle. I believe this is the dynamic that's in view as we consider King Josiah from our reading in 2 Kings 22, and that's where we're going to spend our time this morning. So if you want to grab your blue pew Bibles, it's on page 329. I want to commend Arnie. That's one of the Old Testament readings people wonder, oh, did I get that one? One of the ones with all of the names. Arnie, you did a great job. So 2 Kings 22, page 329. First, I want to talk about the context of this historical narrative, which actually looks all the way back to 1 Samuel chapter 8, where God's people reject God as their king. They demand from God a human king to rule them just like other nations. So God's people reject that day one of the key characteristics that sets them apart from every other kingdom on earth. They reject that their king is the Lord God Almighty. They reject God as king. So when you read then, first you read about King Saul, then King David, then David's son, King Solomon. All three kings had some good. They worshiped the Lord, but all three kings also had sin, and they didn't do well. And in the midst of Solomon's reign, it all fell apart because Solomon started well. You may recall, Solomon had more wisdom, more wealth, and more honor than any other man in history. Solomon worshiped the Lord. He oversaw the building of the first temple in Jerusalem. So Solomon had more wisdom, more wealth, more honor than anyone else, and he had more of one other thing. He had more wives than anyone else. It's recorded that Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines. And many of his wives were from the enemies of God and from the enemies of Israel, nations that God explicitly told his people, do not intermarry with them. Solomon's wives led him to worship their gods. And Solomon ultimately turned away from the Lord in idolatry. 1 Kings 11 records the Lord rejecting King Solomon. And as a result, Israel was divided into two kingdoms that did not get along. Israel, the kingdom in the north, would be ruled by one king, and Judah in the south would be ruled by a different king. And both kingdoms had a series of kings, a few good kings who sought to lead the people back to the Lord, but the majority of the kings were bad kings, evil kings, who turned the hearts of the people away from the Lord following idolatry. In 2 Kings chapter 17, before our reading, the northern kingdom of Israel is so far from the Lord, so embedded in its idolatry, that as a consequence of their rebellion, the Lord allows Assyria to conquer them. And Assyria carries them away to exile. So the northern kingdom of Israel is gone in exile. Judah, the southern kingdom, at that same time, had a faithful king, King Hezekiah. King Hezekiah humbled himself before the Lord. He sought to turn the people back to proper worship of the one true God, their one true king. Hezekiah removed the temples dedicated to other gods, and Hezekiah reigned for 29 years. 2 Kings 18:5 records that Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel, so that there was none like him among all the kings of Judah after him, nor among those who were before him. Hezekiah's reign was unique in that he sought to turn the people back to the Lord. Well, his faithfulness to the Lord was discarded by his son Manasseh, who ruled for 55 years, almost twice as long. Manasseh rebelled against, he rejected his father's faith, and his evil and wickedness was very, very great. We read that it provoked the Lord's anger. He sacrificed some of his own children to these pagan gods. After Manasseh's death, his son Amon reigned, but only reigned for 2 years. It's recorded that Amon also continued it as Manasseh, his father's evil ways. That's the backstory that leads us to Josiah in 2 Kings, verse 22. We didn't start at the beginning of the chapter, but we will now. Let's read verse 1. If your Bibles are open, let's read verse 1 together of chapter 22. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned for 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adiah of Bozkath. I just wanted to hear you say some of the names. I could have stopped before that, but Arnie, you deserve to hear us struggle with the names. So Josiah is 8 years old when his dad dies, when he becomes king. So the first 6 years of his life were lived in the palace under his granddaddy, Manasseh. Then years 6 through 8 under his father, again in the palace of the king. Now recall my example of children of drug lords and mafia kingpins, children oblivious to the evil sides of their parents. We have that kind of contrast going on here. Josiah's royalty, he lives in the palace. He's in line to become king. I imagine Josiah as a little child, privileged and protected in the palace, living in the royal palace, perhaps unaware of the evil ways of his granddaddy and of his dad. At age 8, Josiah's dad is killed by his own servants, and now Josiah is crowned as king. So now let's read verse 2 together. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David, his father, and he did not turn aside to the right or to the left. We read there, Josiah worshiped the Lord. Now, where did that come from? Nowhere in his family life did he experience worship, faithful worship of the one true God. Well, I suggest we get some insight from another accounting of Josiah's life. Josiah's life is recorded in 2 Kings, but it's also recorded in 2 Chronicles. So this will appear on a slide. 2 Chronicles chapter 34. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet a boy, Josiah began to seek the God of David, his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the Asherim, and the carved and metal images. So we just read Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he walked in the ways of the Lord. But Chronicles clarifies, in the 8th year of his reign, he began to follow the Lord. In the 8th year of his reign, he basically rebels against his grandfather and his father. He rejects their faith and instead seeks after the Lord. So what was the catalyst that turned him to faith? Judah had endured 57 years, 6 decades of evil, idolatrous worship, and now we have Josiah. What was the catalyst? Well, let's do a little math, all right? Let's do some math. So he became king at 8 years old, Josiah did. In the 8th year of his reign, he found faith. So how old was he when he came to faith? 16. Thank you. We also read, next slide. He was 16 when he found faith. It's told to us in verse 1 of chapter 22 that he reigned for 31 years. So if he only reigned for 31 years, how old was he when he died? 39. Thank you. Next slide. So he was 39. No, 8 to 31. 39. Yep. So just want to make sure we're on the same page. So I got you all. This is tough. That's why my wife said, Kim said, make sure you do slides. I'm not following you, Bill. So he died at 39. Now in 2 Kings chapter 23, we read his son Jehoahaz became king when he was 23 years old. So how old was Josiah when he became a father? 16. That's right. He was 16 years old when he found faith. He was 16 years old when his son was born. I suggest that fatherhood was a significant factor in Josiah's crisis of faith. This faith of my granddaddy and my father isn't helping me. My life is radically changed. And he turns to the Lord. Josiah discovers the Lord Almighty, and Josiah is now captivated by the Lord, the God of his ancestors, the true king. He's captivated by his faith. His faith is unlike his daddy and his granddaddy and unlike anything that the kingdom of Judah had experienced, as I said, in 60 years. No more sacrificing of children to pagan gods. No more worshiping the host of heaven. No more altars to pagan gods in the temple in Jerusalem. This is a revival, a rebirth of faith and of worship of Yahweh, the great I Am, Adonai, Almighty God. Now recall when we read that verse from 2 Chronicles 34, 4 years after he discovered his faith. He discovered his faith in the 8th year of his reign, then what I have highlighted and underlined. And in the 12th year of his reign, 4 years later, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places. So he was growing in faith. He found faith. And then 4 years into his faith at age 20, he realizes what's happening in Judah is wrong. This must end. And he leads his people to end it. After that, so he's 16 when he finds faith. He's 20 years old when he begins the purge of idolatry. Now, your Bibles are open to 2 Kings chapter 22. Let's look at verse 3, where we read, in the 18th year of King Josiah, so this is a few years later, 18th year of King Josiah, the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah of Meshullam, the second secretary to the house of the Lord, saying, go up to Hilkiah the high priest that he may count the money that's been brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the threshold have collected. Let it be given to the workmen. And let them give it to the workmen. Now Josiah, he's purged the nation of idolatry. And now Josiah, at age 18th year of his reign, started reigning at 8, so age 26, he begins repairing the temple. And if you look at the history, this is the first renovation of the temple in 90 years. This is significant, a cleaning up. Now jump to verse 8. Let's read verse 8 together if your Bibles are open. And Hilkiah, the high priest, said to Shaphan, the secretary, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. The book of the law of the Lord, given through Moses, is the way Chronicles talks about it. This isn't just the law of the Lord. It's the book that was given through Moses, which identifies it as Deuteronomy. Jewish scholars suggest that most of the scrolls of Scripture were probably destroyed by evil King Manasseh. There were no scrolls. They were worshiping from memory until This scroll is found during the renovations. High Priest Hilkiah finds it. He gives it to Josiah's scribe or his secretary, Shaphan, who reads it. He reads the whole thing. Now, he understands. My king has faith, deep faith. He's growing in faith. Shaphan knows what this scroll will mean to the king. So he brings it to the king. Now we read verse 10. Then Shaphan the secretary told the king, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book, and Shaphan read it before the king. He reads the scroll, the entire book of Deuteronomy, to the king, all 34 chapters. Josiah listens to this, and how does he react? Look at verse 11. When the king hears the words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes, tearing your clothes, rending his garments. This is grieving. This is repentance. This is humbling himself before God. He knows there's something significant that happened here, because in the book of Deuteronomy, it talked about chapter 28, the curses for disobedience. If you don't obey the voice of the Lord, you'll be cursed. The Lord will send on you curses, confusion, and frustration. The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. And it goes on to say, and he will bring upon you again all the diseases of Egypt, every sickness. The Lord will scatter you, send you into exile. Josiah hears this, and he knows that his nation is in trouble. He tears his robes, and then he sends, this is our reading this morning, he sends Hilkiah the high priest and a number of others to inquire of the prophet, the prophetess female, Huldah. She's the one that speaks for Almighty God. And Josiah sends his people, go, talk to her, find out what this means. And now we come to verse 17. Verse 16, tell the man who sent you to me, behold, I will bring disaster upon this place and upon its inhabitants. All the words of the book that the king of Judah has read, because they have forsaken me and have made offerings to other gods that they might provoke me to anger with all the work of their hands. Therefore, my wrath will be kindled against this place. It will not be quenched. The prophetess declares God's word, confirming what Josiah would have heard. There are consequences for the nation's idolatry. Covenant curses from Deuteronomy 28 will happen. And then verses 18 through 20. But to the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus you shall say to him, thus says the Lord God of Israel, regarding the words you have heard, because your heart was penitent, because you humbled yourself before the Lord, when you heard how I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, skipping to verse 20. Well, no, at the end of 19, because you've torn your clothes and wept before me, I've heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore, I will gather you to your fathers. You shall be gathered to your grave in peace. Your eyes will not see the curses. Josiah's repentance brings peace and refreshment to God's people for a season. And if you look ahead, 2 Kings 23, verse 21, we read, the king commanded all the people, keep the Passover to the Lord your God, as it's written in this book of the covenant. And verse 23, but in that 18th year of King Josiah, this Passover was kept. Josiah restores the celebration of the Passover, and Jewish scholars say this was the first Passover celebrated in 400 years. Josiah's transformation begins with his discovery of the Lord at age 16. He grows in faith, realizing idolatry in his kingdom must end. He tears down the idols. Then he hears God's word. He receives it and it pierces his heart. He's open to God's word and it changes the course of his life. It changes the course of his family's history for his generation. Now, you may wonder, was his faith in vain? Because if you know the story, just 12 years after Josiah dies, God's judgment is carried out. for Israel's years of idolatry. Much of Judah's carried away 12 years after Josiah's death into Babylon. Then 9 years after that, Jerusalem is decimated, the walls torn down, the temple is destroyed. Was Josiah's faith in vain? The destruction happened anyway. No, his faith was not in vain. One sign of that is that we're reading about it right now. It's recorded for you and for me. His faith was not in vain because it impacted his people. It reminded them of their true king because his heart had been captivated by the Lord, by God's word. One man's faith pauses God's wrath and judgment, restores the celebration of God's miraculous deliverance of his people. The Passover, the first Passover in 400 years, reminds God's people that they were set apart, that God rescued them, redeemed them, set them apart. That God is their true king, and they are God's favored and beloved people. Josiah's faith is recorded for all to experience, you and I included. His faith is an example to you and to me. Because just as Israel and Judah had slowly forgotten God's word, taken God's word for granted, got lost in worshiping idols, just as easily you also can be led astray by the idols in our world, by those things that clamor for your attention, that you may drift away and may forget the faith that you have. You may forget your God. Now, God's word is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, not just the New Testament, all of it. That's why we're looking at Josiah. How does this apply to our lives? God's word is living and active. Now, you may know that in your head, but does that knowledge instruct your heart? Do you approach God's word like Josiah? Are you open to it? Are you allowing it to instruct your heart, to bring conviction, to lead you to figuratively tear your robes and lead you to repentance and deeper faith? Do you approach God's word like Josiah, allowing it to captivate you? Or do you take it for granted, discarding it as irrelevant and meaningless like Josiah's granddaddy Manasseh, who instead worshiped everything else? My question is, what captivates your heart? Teenagers, the teenagers that are here, I want you to hear this because how old was Josiah when he found faith? He was 16. He started on that journey early, but he found faith at age 16, and it guided him, instructed his ways. He didn't drift away from it when he was 20. That's when he tore the other idols down. He continued to repent and turn to the Lord. Until he died at 39, his faith instructed him. He didn't forget it, but he grew day by day. Teenagers, don't let your faith drift away. Hold it. My own dad came from a non-Christian family, but at age 16, no coincidence, he was introduced to faith in Jesus by some older football players at his high school and a Fellowship of Christian Athletes staff worker. And his faith continued to grow. And because of that, he was made fun of by a lot of the rest of his family for this faith that he had. His faith changed the destiny of my family, of his marriage, of me and my siblings. His faith is a foundational reason why I stand here today. Don't let your faith drift away. Don't let the enemy distract you. Now, adults, it doesn't matter how old you are. God's word continues to be living and active. Our own Wayne Jones, Wayne will be here at the second service. Wayne Jones will tell you he didn't meet Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior until he was 47 years old. He's now in his mid-80s. He continues to seek the Lord, to read his word, to walk with joy, no fear. And he reflects his faith to everyone around him. If you know Wayne, you know that. Wayne is captivated by his faith. What captivates your heart? If you sense that your faith has drifted this morning, if you're feeling a little conviction, that's not me, that's the Lord. If you sense you're more captivated by other things than your faith, than God's word, than his good news for the world, I pray today that you'll return to the Lord, that you'll seek him in his word with humility and openness like Josiah. If today you do not yet have faith, I pray that the testimony of Josiah will serve as a wake-up call. I pray you will seek God and his word, that he will open your eyes and your heart to his love. If you're walking with God today, I pray that this will encourage you to spend time in his word, to allow it to instruct your life, to allow it to impact your heart. I pray that all of you will be open to God's redemption in Jesus Christ through the forgiveness of sin. That you will find and know his peace, his joy, and his purpose. And that God, through Jesus Christ and his word, that he will transform you as he transformed Josiah, as he transformed my dad, and as he transformed me. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.